Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships. The good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Justin.
And we're best friends.
Just to go out for
a Yeah, it just comes back to you.
Yeah, yes. It just took a while.
Yeah, so we're still in lockdown.
Still in lockdown.
And hopefully not for too much longer, but we will see. The leaves are coming out on the trees.
Yeah.
You know, spring is coming.
Spring is coming.
Better days are ahead.
Although it's supposed to snow tonight.
other than the snow, right?
Yeah. No.
Plus we're having a surprise party that was going to be a picnic tomorrow.
Right.
For the princess who graduated nursing school.
Summa cum laude.
Yes, that's right, our
Such
girl.
Such a smarty pants.
Yes. So, it was, it's a great idea, you know, and she's in our little quarantine.
Yeah.
So.
Quarantine. That's a good one.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I hadn't heard that. That's
okay,
a good one.
Yeah. So, we're going to have her cousins Zoom in
Aww.
And, you know, wish her well because we wanted to have a big splashy thing, but.
Right.
So, we're muddling along.
Yeah, it's been 2 months since I stopped. Well, since I started working from home because of COVID.
Yep.
And I'm just about done with that.
Because
work gives you a lot of structure that you didn't realize that it gives you.
Yeah.
That you need.
Right.
That I need. That I definitely need.
I can relate in that my children being in school gave me structure because they would come home at a certain time and, you know, family time would begin and... So when I became an empty nester, I had sort of this long, sprawling, flopping day.
Yeah.
So COVID isn't that different for me.
Right.
But what I really miss is the chance to go out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to being in the house, but it was kind of my saving grace. Like, oh, I could go out to dinner and, you know, go see a friend, go to a movie, stroll around Target and look at towels, you know.
Yes. And I've watched everything on Netflix and
I know.
Hulu.
I think my Netflix queue is empty.
I'm just empty. Like, I'm
you've
just
seen
watching
everything.
Shows now.
These are
shows that I wouldn't normally watch.
I made you watch one.
You did.
Yeah. It was Love is Blind.
Love is Blind.
And I loved it and Joss.
I found the people to be dreadful people. But if you like, I'm assuming, if you like The Bachelor sort of a situation, if you like that kind of thing, you'll really like this. I enjoyed watching Love is Blind because I was hate watching it.
Yeah.
I hated all of those
There
people.
Are a lot of hateable characters.
Yes.
But they're authentically hateable.
Yeah.
Which is what I enjoyed. I thought, like, you are really an awful person.
Yes.
And I enjoy seeing it. It wasn't as staged, I think, as, like, I've never actually seen The Bachelor.
Neither,
but what I've
actually.
Read is, like, so much is planned and produced. And,
I see.
You know. Let's do a retake and, you know, make sure you pull out her extensions. I've read a lot, though. I've read some really good books and I have watched a lot of TV.
I've watched so much TV, everything that I could possibly be watched. I still am unpacking listeners, so I can't find any books.
No, they're in the, 15, 17 boxes of books in her study.
You know what it's like, you know, Indiana Jones at the end, where they're in that big warehouse? That's what I am.
That's her den.
That's what I got going on.
We're getting there, though.
Yeah.
We're getting there. So we have an interesting letter this week.
We do.
And some of it has to do with... friendship expectations, and some of it has to do with life in a small town.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Joss.
Dear Kristen and Joss, thank you so much for doing your wonderful podcast. The following is a really long letter for which I apologize. I also apologize for any small town drama which may ensue. I have a confusing situation with a friend. I was hoping someone removed from the situation could understand more clearly than I can. I have a friend, Rachel,
not her real name,
who I met freshman year in college. We became best friends almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Red flag.
Uh-huh. And it was the good kind of friendship, respectful, supportive, and with the added bonus that we were kindred spirits while still being very different. She was already engaged by the time we met, so we never...
Okay, just right there. So she's 18 and engaged.
Wow.
That's in these parts, it's unusual it to is. Be 18 That's and engaged. True.
So she was already engaged by the time we met. So we never were clingy friends. It was enough to have dinner once a month and text or call during big life events. We were never extremely intrusive since we are both homebodies and introverts, but we were always there for each other. And I think the friendship worked well for both of us. We talked about our classes, our churches, our families, our weight loss goals, and later our jobs. The only thing that ever annoyed me slightly was that I was always willing to clear my calendar to get together with her, while she was always one of the busiest person in the world types. Yeah. But I just accepted that and never brought it up with her because I figured there was probably something I did that annoyed her too. Flash forward to graduation. Rachel, a teacher, needed a job, and my mom, a principal, needed a teacher. I told my mom she was a wonderful person, but stayed out of the whole process because I didn't want Rachel to feel like she had gotten the job because I pulled strings for her. She didn't. She was an awesome, award-winning teacher, and she and my mom developed a wonderful relationship outside our friendship, which I loved. I was off at law school most of the time, but we always stayed in touch, and nothing about the friendship changed. Then I moved back home and started working. She called to let me know she and her husband were expecting a baby, and I was the first to know outside of their families. I was thrilled for them. When the baby was born, I made plans to go see him when he was a few weeks old at a time that was convenient to them. I had been through something extremely traumatic at work the week before, which must have been plain just by looking at me, but she didn't notice, and I decided not to bring it up. I also decided not to get irritated with her for not noticing, because I know how consuming a new baby can be. Everything went smoothly for about a year. The only things that were changing in my life were that I had lost a lot of weight and also decided to leave my job. I texted her to let her know about my job and explained to her that I decided to give a month-long notice since I loved a lot of the people at work and didn't want to leave anyone hanging. Then 2 weeks later, everything came crashing to a halt in the friendship. My mom called me extremely upset and told me that Rachel had quit. She had already packed up her entire classroom before she even let my mom know. She put my mom in a terrible situation. It was summer break and school was supposed to start in 2 days. Parents were calling in a panic about who would be their children's teacher. We live in a rural area and teachers aren't easy to come by. So my mom had a lot of stress and long days over the next few weeks while trying to clean up the mess. Rachel also violated her contract, which required 30 days notice. But my mom and the school system decided to let her go without drama out of respect for the work she had done. Rachel had already accepted another job with the school system where her husband was working his way up the ladder. That night, one of the teachers at my mom's school, who I think also considers Rachel to be her best friend, saw Rachel's husband in the grocery store parking lot. He was extremely rude, yelling something like, "We have to do what's best for our family." The other teacher had only said that she would miss Rachel very much. That wasn't like Rachel's husband at all. He is usually so sweet. Of course, we all worried about why she had quit in this way. No one knew anything in her personal or work life that would have caused her to act so uncharacteristically irresponsibly. My mom said Rachel had cried the whole time she was in her office, so my mom theorized that her husband was making her quit, although again, that didn't sound like him. He is usually very concerned with making Rachel happy. My mom, who admittedly understands school drama better than I, thinks maybe the power of his new job had gone to his head and that he got brownie points for bringing a great teacher to his even more rural school system. I was concerned, but it wasn't the fact that she had quit that bothered me. I figured that anyone has the right to leave a job. It was the way she had done it that hurt my mom's feelings. My mom even had some health issues over the stress Rachel put on her. But my mom encouraged me to forgive her and remove her from the situation. It was hard, but I had always tried not to let the fact that my mom was Rachel's boss come between us. So I put it aside and texted her about a week after the incident and told her congratulations on her new job and that I knew she would rock it. We had dinner once after that and maybe texted a couple of times, always at my instigation. It has been 9 months now, and I'm starting to realize that she doesn't want to be friends anymore. She's pulling away entirely. The other teacher she was good friends with has had the same experience, except hers has been worse. Rachel has been actively rude to her, which is so unlike her. Rachel and her husband are expecting another baby, and I only found out about it when my sister called to ask if I had seen Rachel's Facebook post. So I'm pretty sure it's over, and no one can explain why. My mom theorizes that Rachel may be embarrassed for the way she handled things, but I don't know. It seems like there's something deeper, but no one can think of anything. I've almost come to the conclusion to stop trying with Rachel. No one should be forced to be friends if they don't want to. So I guess I'm saying goodbye to a 10-year friendship. I'm just so confused because it seems so senseless. What do you think? Keep trying occasionally or let it go completely? Did I do anything wrong? Is she just in a weird phase? Signed, confused in a small town.
Well,
my heaven.
There's a lot in there.
There is a whole lot.
So confused. The first thing I want to point out to you is how much people have talked about Rachel behind her back,
yeah,
including you.
Yeah.
Out of care or concern or right, whatever, but your mom is making assumptions about her.
Right.
A mutual friend is making assumptions. You heard about someone who said something in the parking lot.
Right.
And I think this is going to sound hurtful, and I don't mean it to be, but I think 90% of this is none of your business.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I mean, she took another job at her husband's school. There's a lot of great reasons for doing that.
Right.
You know, I get to work with my husband. We can commute together.
Right.
Maybe, like, daycare is closer or right, more convenient for us.
Right.
You know, it's true that she put your mom in a bad spot, but your mom's a principal.
Right.
This is part of the job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was stressful for your mom and very last minute, but these things happen.
Yeah.
It's not personal.
Right.
And the fact that Rachel cried probably just shows that, you know, she knew she was not handling this in the best way.
Yeah.
Maybe the job offer just came up.
Right.
You know, but I think you have to leave all these assumptions about what motivated her and what's really going on.
Right.
I think you have to leave them beside, you know, behind. And if you just really look at the facts, you've been friends with this woman. You helped her network into a job. She didn't stay at the job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you call her your best friend, but I don't know, Jess, what do you think?
Not really. I know that sounds harsh, but it just seems as if you both were acquaintances that have known each other for, you know, 10 years.
Yeah.
And that happens, but you don't sound like the very best of friends. There's one instance in your letter where you talk about something that she did that annoys you, but how you didn't bring it up because you figured
she was upset about something at work, but
right. You kind of didn't notice.
You expected Rachel, who's sleep deprived,
right,
physically exhausted,
right,
sore,
right,
maybe nursing a baby, you know, like it's one of the most exhausting times of her life. And you decided to forgive her for not noticing the upset
right,
on your face that you didn't mention.
Why didn't you mention it?
You wanted her to know.
Yeah, but why didn't you mention it?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just say, I've been having a hard time at work?
Right. Which is a very normal thing to say. And sure. I can say that as someone who was alone with a baby more than once, you know, twice, you love hearing about your friends' regular
right,
lives. You know, it's such a relief to think about something other than poop and pee and breastfeeding and, you know.
Right.
Why is the baby looking cross-eyed? Is something wrong? You know. So you, in a way, I feel like you were keeping score.
Yeah.
You know,
a little,
both on the good and the bad. Like, I was the first person she called outside the family.
Yeah.
That's one in Rachel's favor.
Right.
Rachel didn't notice that I was upset when she had a 3-week infant. That's one against Rachel.
Right.
And I think that you say, like, you always instigated your nights out.
That's a flag. That's a red flag, I think.
And it doesn't mean she didn't like you, confused.
Right.
It doesn't mean she didn't enjoy those times. It just meant that you were not enough of a priority
right,
for her to say to her husband, you know what I'm going to do? On Thursday night, I'm going to go see Confused.
Yeah.
If she called you, then you would cross her mind. But if she wasn't reaching out to you first, it was not a balanced relationship.
I don't believe so. I think she was engaged very young.
Yep.
For here.
Mm-hmm.
in general.
I know, like, maybe it's different in, you know, rural country.
Yeah.
I'm making a lot of assumptions.
I am too.
But
it seems young.
It's young. And you mentioned that, you know, your church life was important to you both.
Right.
Maybe it's a religious thing.
Perhaps it is. But through college, so she was engaged through college, which means she wasn't really having those fun college friend moments with you where you kind of have your college adventures together, because she was busy being an engaged woman.
Right.
So her, I think, and I could be really wrong here, but I think her best friend at that time was her fiancé.
Yeah.
And who became her husband.
Right.
I think he was her priority.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really dangerous to make assumptions about, like, her husband is forcing her to leave.
And, I think that's dangerous,
too. Could it be true?
Maybe.
Yeah. But you have no evidence to that. You say he's really sweet and he always puts her first. But it's dangerous because you're gossiping about her, even if it's with people you trust.
Yeah.
Thinking like, what's going on here?
Right.
This can't be right because it doesn't feel right to me.
Right. And you say you live in a small town. And we know from Kristen writing about small towns for
and
2 decades.
Living in one for 50 years.
For 50 years. That this will get around. You really don't want to start these kind of rumors.
Right. The best thing you can do for Rachel is to be pleasant to her if your paths cross. And, you know, maybe drop her a note or an email, a text, and just say, hey, I was thinking about you. How's the new baby?
Mm-hmm.
You know, haven't heard from you in a long time. Wishing you the best.
Mm-hmm.
But you, I'm not sure you ever had a really close friendship confused. And I say that, like, wanting to give you a hug. Because I've been in those friendships, too, where I thought, but weren't we best friends? And it turned out we weren't. We were circumstantial best friends.
Right.
Or we were best friends when it suited her to have a best friend. You know, like when she was lonely in college and she knew she could glom on to me because I would do whatever, you know.
Right, right.
So I'm not sure that it was ever a really healthy, intimate friendship. I don't think you quitting your job and giving a month's notice has anything to do with her quitting her job and giving 2 days' notice.
I don't think so either.
Not connected?
Not even a little bit.
Like, you know, if I were a lawyer, I would say, relevance, Your Honor.
Yeah.
you know, it seems like, oh, I quit my job and I made sure to tell her what a great person I was. I gave a month's notice and then she screwed my mom.
Right.
You know, and I do think that that's like a really tangled situation because, you know, though your mom is a professional, you know her, and it was stressful to replace a teacher with so little notice. But again, you know, them's the knocks, right? You know?
They are. I mean, I don't think you can use that situation to make the assumptions that you're making. I don't think you should.
Yeah.
I think you should maybe let this go. Drop her a line every once in a while, but maybe, and I'm sorry if that's tough for you because you are under the impression that you are better friends with this person.
And it is really hard to learn that perhaps you weren't.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think maybe let this go. I don't think she's in a weird phase. You ask, is she just in a weird phase? I think no. I think she's got 2 kids.
Yeah. I think she's been really, you know, really consistent.
Yeah.
She's been really consistent with you, which is that when it's convenient for her, she has enjoyed your company, but she has a lot going on. She's got a new job, 2 little babies, a marriage, and those things come first.
Right.
I do think that if you drop her that note or text and just say, I've been thinking about you, wishing you the best, you will know, based on her response, where you stand. You haven't heard from her in 9 months, right?
Right.
And during that time, she has gestated and, I assume, birthed a baby.
Yeah.
And so now she has 2 little kids and she's changed jobs. She has so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give her some compassion of, you know, being a young mother, having kids sounds like pretty close together.
Mm-hmm.
And if she responds by like, oh, it's so nice to hear from you. I thought you might hate me because of how I left your mom's school or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll know.
Right.
That's when you can start rebuilding.
Yeah.
So that you don't fall back into the old habits, that you're both now more mature, older, have a little life experience. Now you can start, if she's interested, building a more mutual and balanced friendship.
Yeah. I think I think Kristen's absolutely right on that. I think, too, that you should, just for future reference, you had sort of an Insta-friendship.
Yeah.
And we always talk about how that is not
best. When you say, like, we were instantly best friends, you are always wrong.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you won't become best friends.
Right.
But you are not best friends after a week.
No, you're not. It's that sort of falling head over heels into a friendship that we found never really works out the way you hope it does.
Yeah.
There's always a moment to pause and take some time to let the friendship develop a little more organically and a little more thoughtfully.
Right. I do also think that most Insta friendships happen at a time when you are a little vulnerable and lonely. So you're new in college.
Right.
You meet this girl. She's great. Right. You're best friends. You're new at a job.
Right.
The person who sits next to you is fantastic. You have so many laughs, best friends.
Right.
And you become committed to the person before you really know that person.
Exactly.
So they're usually kind of doomed. Like, it's never going to live up to that first week or month or year of when we were so close. Because honestly, you weren't really so close.
Well, right. And you were just freshmen in college, just starting out, as Kristen says, feeling vulnerable, probably a little scared.
Yeah.
And once you got over your fear, that was the time to start to really get to know each other and, you know, make the bonds of a really good friendship. But she was engaged.
Right.
And got married right after you graduated. So I'm not sure that the intimacy that you thought you had was actually there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the third option here would be that you accept that Rachel is never going to be that friend, but it's enough.
Yeah.
So that occasionally, you know, twice a year instead of once a month, you have dinner together. You catch up. It's pleasant. It's nice to hear about her life. She enjoys hearing about yours. And that holds you for another 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends had one of those best friends in college. And now, a few years later, they hardly ever see each other.
Mm-hmm.
They care deeply about each other, and when they're together, it's often fun.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend has just sort of accepted, like, this, it's never going to be the way it was.
Right.
And I love and accept her for how she is, and I'll take those twice a year brunches or whatever, you know? And I have other friends who fill my other needs.
Yeah.
So you have some options here, but knock off the gossip.
Yeah, I think that's the worst thing you can do now. Just let that go. It's not helping you, and it's certainly not helping Rachel.
And it's hurting Rachel.
Yeah.
And it's not good for the community.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your little community, you said you live in that small town, as Jess said. People are going to hear. People are going to talk. And it becomes toxic, and it will come back to bite you on the ass when you are the subject of gossip.
Right. That kind of speculation is, there's no need to theorize. Just go with what you know.
Go with what you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And I would also say you're a new attorney. You should, think about finding friends within that field. Probably a law association can find friends with. You will find people there that you might have more in common with.
Yep.
And then you can have a more fuller relationships, more fuller friendships.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we learn as we step further into adulthood is that one friend is never going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, we women, we need a circle of friends.
Yeah.
So I hope that's helpful to you and we wish you the best, and write back to us and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
So Joss.
Yes, dear.
We were both commenting on the fact that we should have a whole lot of embarrassing personal problems. Time of COVID.
Yes, we should.
I mean, there was the shock of seeing my unshaven legs the other day.
Oh, I did find my tweezers.
Oh, my God. I knew you looked radiant today. But no, we were going to praise each other for some grace, poise, and elegance today.
Yeah, why not?
Because you know what? We both showered.
I did.
Not together, but we did.
No, not together. Get your mind out of
Not yet.
Not yet. I showered. I am wearing a brassiere.
What?
With underwire.
Okay. Again, she looks amazing.
I still am wearing elastic band pants because I don't think I can put on pants with a button and zipper again.
You know, I put on these jeans that I'm wearing today, and they're rather nice jeans. Mm-hmm. They're not your typical jeans. They have a flower pattern on them. They're really cool. And I wear them maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. And they had a button and a zipper, and I was like, how does this work? I don't remember. I was just pleased because I could still button them. So, yeah. You know, I'm not wearing a bra, but I did put on makeup.
Ooh.
And I thought, like, I looked in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I look quite pretty.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not drab and like that ashen white that you're used to seeing.
I like that ashen white.
Thank you. but yeah, so we are giving ourselves some credit for putting in a little more effort and dealing with our hair and our hygiene.
Hygiene. I mean, today was a shower day.
Yeah. So we're winning.
Yeah.
And good for us.
Yeah. Kristen's hair is a little long. I've offered to cut it.
I did. I tried to blow it dry so it looks intentional
nice.
Today.
I like it.
Rather than insane.
Longer than usually. The back is usually much shorter.
Yeah.
But I have, dear listeners, offered to cut it and film it for everyone.
Yeah. If I allow her to, we will live stream it. And hey, Joss, we were featured in the New York Times.
I mean, can you believe it?
We were featured in the New York Times section about podcasts about relationships.
And I can't believe it.
We were so honored. So
I really am so thrilled.
Thank you for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome.
Yeah.
We're so happy to have you here.
Yeah.
And have a great week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.